I listen to the Cochran Show in my underpants.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go.
610, hi, how are you? I'm fine.
It's
Tuesday in Chicago, likely where you are as well, and 1,341 shows in. You know, everything's fine. Fine, how are you? Are you fine? I'm fine. Later this morning, a plank challenge. Dave, you're not dressed to plank.
Okay, I didn't know that I had to... Okay, I know you said something to me about planking.
Remember that long meeting we had on the plane?
Yeah, I didn't really dress for it. You're right, Steve.
Can you plank in that sweater?
Yeah, but I'm going to get all sweaty, but yeah, sure.
Okay. We have a 71-year-old planker.
Mary should plank. Mary's more of a planker than I am. Planking's not my specialty.
I've never seen you turn down a competitive challenge.
There's a photographic evidence of Dave and I being plankers together in the old studio.
Well, you did it with plank on your elbows.
Yeah, Benita,
your
hands.
What'd you say, Mary?
Do you plank on your elbows or your hands?
The elbows.
Okay. Yeah, it's two different ways to plank.
Yeah.
That was very judgmental of Vanderbilt, wasn't it?
Yes.
I figured you would jump in. As competitive as you are, as soon as he started planking, I figured you'd plank too. What if you did like a pyramid plank where you're planking and I just plank on, I just get right on your back?
You mean like we did out in Phoenix?
Yeah. Yeah. Just like that.
What the heck did you guys do there?
Yeah, it's a busy trip.
Like Twister?
We couldn't find the mat. Jeremy Colleton will be on later as the Hawks have to win their last seven, and that one of those will be tonight. So all that's coming up.
As Dave Ennett said in his early sports today, though, the teams that we need to lose lost. So the Blackhawks are...
That helps.
Yeah. Arizona lost and who? The Wild?
Well, Arizona's been losing. They didn't play last night, but they've lost five in a row. But Minnesota lost last night, and they've been struggling, and so...
I do not like that logo. We were watching that game last night.
Which logo?
The big Wild logo in the middle of their ice. It's green and red, you know.
I didn't watch the game.
It's so distracting. I don't. It's too big or something. They need to make it smaller and black.
You didn't stay up and watch the game?
You know, I was actually essentially comatose about 8:45. And normally, what happens is I go upstairs between, you know, you get upstairs. I'll go upstairs between 8 and 9. And then 9 o'clock, I tell myself I'm going to go to sleep. Next thing you know, it's 10, and I'm watching the opening to Brian Williams. And then I'm finally asleep by 10:15, 10:30. Last night, out 8:45.
Oh, that's good, though. It's nice when you can just drop out.
It was good until I woke up at 1.
Ooh.
Yeah. So.
I couldn't fall asleep either. My husband was snoring so bad.
I heard him at my house.
Oh, my gosh. I kept hitting him, and he didn't take the hint.
Now, Mayor, do you ever go to another room?
No. No. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I can't sleep in another room. I need my alarm clock. My good alarm clock.
That's tremendous. I can't sleep in another room. I need my alarm clock. How possibly could you move it?
I don't use my phone to wake up.
There's no way we could possibly have that alarm clock in another room.
No, I like it where it is. You know, I have my routine. If anybody's going to move, it's going to be him.
Yeah, except for you can't get him up.
I know. That was a problem.
All right. Why don't we just do this, Joe, if you're ready, Super Joe. Hi, Super Joe. I'm back. You excited?
No.
All right. Here we go. It's the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
I think I got kennel cough on the plane.
Maybe you got it from John DeCosta's dog.
I got mad.
No, last night I got home, I convinced myself that
you
and I talked on the plane about everyone around us was hacking and sneezing, and I was sure I was deathly ill last night.
We had some stuff going on that plane.
Wow.
I mean, it was we were a nice little boy wanted to sit with his mom, and they were separated, and he was whimpering. So we switched those seats up, and then behind that, there was a World War II vet. God bless him. The guy was 112 if he was a day, and his oxygen kept going off, so the beep, beep, beep thing kept going off. So I'm worried that, you know, somebody ought to probably tend to that. And it turns out that was the normal sound it was supposed to make, but, you know, that sort of gets in your head after
the doctor
a while.
In you.
Yeah. And then Dave sat next to the loud talker.
Go back to this mother and child situation.
Uh-huh.
They were not seated together, and so you moved to accommodate that?
No, I don't. Listen, nice little boy. I don't sit in the middle. I just don't. I mean, I get off the plane before I sit in the middle. And the little boy was upset, and the mom, there are basically two middles, one in front of the other.
Yeah.
And the guy sitting next to the little boy said to me, would you mind switching to my seat? I'll sit in the middle, and then the little boy could move up with his mom.
Oh.
So I went aisle to aisle.
How little is this baby?
He was 21.
I don't like when people, I purchased my exact seat. I don't like that whole people wanting to be, you should have booked your flight earlier to be next to your kid.
Paid the extra money to be next
to
your kid.
Yeah, that bothers me.
Well, that's the other thing. American Airlines, I think I'm right about this, Dave. They overbooked by 29 people.
What?
29 people.
Yeah, they were, and are outbound also, because they were offering thousands of dollars in travel vouchers.
Don't they lose money that way? You think they'd lose money?
29 people, and only five took the deal, because it started out at $500, it went to $750, then it went to $1,000, and five people ended up taking the deal, which meant 24 people who had tickets on the flight couldn't go.
Yeah, we rode on the wing, actually.
Steve was on the fence, not real, like, you know, you were tired and not necessarily, like, thinking when you wanted to go. It must have been hard when people are dangling thousands of dollars at you to...
You know what I was thinking more of? I go back to the hotel, I can sleep. I can get up tomorrow, play some golf, take a late flight.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Beautiful weather in Phoenix. I don't know if anybody's heard. It worked out just fine.
Nice.
85 and sunny yesterday, and we were leaving. So anyway, the plane was goofy, which leads me to the text question of the day, which has nothing to do with the top six at six, which I'll get to in just a second. Text question today is, what's the worst part about traveling? You know the best part about traveling. The best part about traveling is you get there, you have a good time, you have a great trip. What's the worst part about traveling? And let me just start you off. We waited 45 minutes for our bags last night.
Oh, that's awful.
Because you're home now. You're home. Yeah,
you
45
can't
minutes.
Oh,
my wife circled five times.
Yeah.
Which means you have to go down by the international terminal and come back around.
She had time to go back to your house.
She did.
Yeah. Item number one, WGN TV hosted a mayoral debate last night between Preckwinkle and Lightfoot. And production values, not great. And the debate itself was quite a snooze.
What I don't understand is, why do they have all these debates in front of audiences when they announce that audiences are not allowed to react or heckle
cheer? I agree.
Why not have the get them out of there then?
And we're going to have presidential debates out the yin-yang wazoo-ish area of you in the next several months, obviously. Just at least one where you can say anything.
Right?
Heckling, yelling, anything at all.
I want to get off the stage.
Right.
That's what I'm looking for.
You call that a policy?
Right. I want someone dragged out for being so unruly. Mm-hmm. A woman, you know, with her hair all flying.
Right. That'd be the highest rated debate by far.
Maybe we could have it in a coliseum where people are actually gladiators.
That'd be cool.
I like that, too.
Next, Trump and the Republican allies are just, they couldn't be happier with themselves. Vowed yesterday they're going to try something else. Punish those responsible for the special counsel's Russia investigation. Well, that seems like the right move. Now that it's ended without implicating him or his campaign. Also, Barr, the attorney general, has put forward a new idea for legislation, a new policy, a new push, if you will, to completely overturn Obamacare, including pre-existing conditions. And my favorite guy, Mitch McConnell, blocked a Senate resolution, a unanimous Senate resolution outside of he and Lindsey Graham, that would have released the full Mueller report almost immediately. And Steve, one of my favorite points there was that McConnell said he wanted to give Barr, you know, the time he needed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because Barr got that decision out in about 15 minutes.
Right. And he had 3 weeks heads up on it, apparently, too. And again, just a reminder to folks, we have not seen the full report. So everything we're talking about is based on something that somebody else saw.
Yep. Next, suspected gunman in the weekend killing of an off-duty Chicago police officer, John Rivera, 23, opened fire on, quote, the first Hispanic man he saw after a petty dispute with a group of Latinos about an hour before Superintendent A.J. Johnson called the shooting a hate crime. And this creep hopefully will go to jail for the rest of his life and longer. Next, Cole Hamels hit a hole-in-one and a home run in less than 48 hours. Playing golf with Rizzo and Lester on Sunday, got his first hole in one. Well, congratulations, Cole. Welcome to the club.
And yes. And by the way, It looks, I think they were playing the same course we played because it's got cactus and mountains.
Oh, you're kidding.
In the background.
Well, that's hard to find in Phoenix.
Yeah.
The home run on Monday night against the Red Sox kind of completed the deal. I'm guessing the hole-in-one meant more to him.
Did either of you hit a home run this weekend?
I did.
In addition to...
Yeah, but I was in my room by myself and I was pretending.
So nobody saw it.
I like to think of it as hitting a home run on air. You know, we had a good show Saturday. Go. Yeah, hit a home run.
And Sunday. And then yesterday happened. next, Justin Bieber's taking a break from his music to focus on repairing some deep-rooted issues he has. Listen, I'm not going to make fun of this because I fully believe in therapy and I fully believe that people should be introspective no matter how successful they are or where they are in life. But this really is asking to be made fun of and I'm not going to do it.
Don't do it. And he said he wants to get himself healed so he can be a good husband and a good father.
Well, we should salute that.
I know. He's been cranking out the music since he's 15. You know, that's how long he's been public. So,
and he needs to love himself. That's another piece. And by the way, we all should love ourselves. And some of us should love ourselves less than we do. But we should all love ourselves.
It's an example of, though, it doesn't matter how many fans you have. You might not be happy with, you know, your own self.
You got to be fulfilled. And finally, this McDonald's drive-thrus will start helping you make decisions. Good God. There's six items. There's like, they sell burgers, they sell chicken, and they sell a fish sandwich. They have sausage, eggs, and pancakes. It's not that hard.
Okay, sometimes it is that hard.
Oh, stop.
Especially when the thing, the intercom doesn't work, when there are things on the menu that they don't have cooked. Remember back to chicken.
Oh, my God. What other option would I have?
And
the chicken's not ready?
When the French fries are not ready, when the when they don't have shamrock shakes anymore, you need to know all of this stuff.
I'm telling you right now, if you go to McDonald's and don't know what you want, don't go to McDonald's.
Here's the thing, though. As a person who doesn't go to McDonald's that often, whenever they switched the menu board to pictures, you do pull up and you're like, oh, I was thinking about getting an Egg McMuffin, but now... Now I see the picture of the sausage burrito, and I'm thinking I might go burrito.
I agree, Mayor. I don't go very often, so I get all flustered.
You're not sitting at a fine restaurant. You're in line at a friggin' drive-thru. As my old friend John Panette, the late, great John Panette, said, get out of the line! Get out of the line!
Until
you don't know what you want.
Well, you also have to understand that we're moving away from actual people doing any of this stuff. So the more digital computers we have doing some of this stuff, the less people we can have.
Well, here's the example. At McDonald's, if it's a hot day, the menu board may suggest a cone. Oh, what an interesting concept. It's warm. I seem to be overheated. Possibly ice cream. Thank you, menu board. The software will also track wait times at the restaurant, so during busy periods, the menu suggests items that are easier for the staff to make. Well, thank God. That's
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
They're going to manipulate you, Steve.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
How about easier for the customer to eat?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Again, if you don't know what you want at McDonald's, go somewhere else.
Now I want a sausage and egg McMuffin.
Do they still have McFlurries?
They do.
But it depends. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes the machine is broken.
If the machine is down, you're right, Steve. Oh. Because Patrick has reported back, I wanted to get a McFlurry, but the machine was down.
You had a big discussion at the house that night?
Mm-hmm.
Recently, because the only time I go now is when I'm craving fries. And I went to get cheese fries because I wanted to try them. They didn't have them at the McDonald's I went to. They were
cheese
out.
Fries?
Yeah, they were out of fries.
How long were you stuck in line trying to make a decision after that? Oh, my gosh. What will I decide on now?
Well, I wasn't in line for very long, but I said I ordered the fries. And like, oh, we're out of those today. And I'm like, okay. And then I just drove away.
Oh.
Went to another McDonald's. It would be nice for the sign to tell me that before I waited in line.
There you go. We're out of cheese fries.
Yeah. See, my primary thing at McDonald's is to roll in, get a Diet Coke, and roll out. So the only time I am stumped by McDonald's is when they go, the Diet Coke's down. Excuse me?
Got to have the fish filet during lunch.
How could that ever be down? How could you ever not anticipate someone ordering a Coke or a Diet Coke or some of the
staple
fries?
But okay, the cheese fries thing, help me out because I've never ordered them.
Yeah.
But they always have fries, right?
The cheese fries now, the new fries, they have cheese drizzled on them, and they have bits of bacon sprinkled on them.
Drizzle seems complimentary in a kind of a way that probably
those don't seem good for driving, I'm going to say.
They're not good, no, and period. They serve them with a fork, if that tells you anything.
I think this is to combat the nacho fries that... is it Taco Bell? I think they have nacho fries.
If you've ever had cheese fries at Steak and Shake, that's what it's like.
Oh.
Yeah. They're really pretty good. They are pretty good.
To all the fans, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Remember this?
Say that again.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. You deserve a break today at McDonald's.
You know what's...
When your dollar gets a break every day.
When your dollar gets a break. You know, you know what it's going to come down to is retina recognition, the eye thing. So, like, you pull in, you just stare at the menu board, and it gives you something. So you just roll up and...
Through osmosis?
Yeah, just like you look like a quarter pounder meal. You look like a large fries. That type of thing. That's where it's going.
That feels like profiling to me.
Do you think it would read my eyes and say, you look like you want a sausage, egg, and cheese McMuffin, but you're not going to let yourself eat that, and here's just a coffee?
I think in your case, the software would probably go on the fridge.
Yeah, that's a lot of computing power, Mary.
Yeah.
I would cross my eyes and make a weird face, you know, if the fillet of fish came up.
In talking about the french fries, I love french fries. It's one of my favorite foods. But I only like them in the small container. I'd rather have two smalls than one large. Something about the way the air gets to them or something. I don't know. I just like the little paper sack.
I wonder if we could, like, map your brain and see what it looks like, because the things that trouble you.
I know. So yeah. I'd rather have, if anyone's ever getting me french fries, two smalls are better than one large.
And Mary, I have to tell you, this again, this is my guilty pleasure, is to go and get french fries. I know it might be hard looking at me to understand that. But it is. Every once in a while, I say, I'm going to cheat today and go get fries. And I've gotten fries and they've tasted horrible, and I've drove around the block and come back and give them back. Because it's that important.
Yeah, it's that important. Those McDonald's french fries are pretty top notch.
But
so.
Steve, please tell me you don't go to McDonald's and then feel guilty.
I do. And then sick about an hour and a half later.
But why?
I don't. Because you eat all that grease and then you're
But my point is, you've made a decision to go to McDonald's.
I know.
Why would you feel bad about it after?
I know. I need counseling.
If it doesn't fulfill expectations, I would say that's when you regret it.
It did, but it does for about an hour. You're like, oh, I'm like, those are so good. And then about an hour and a half later, I'm like, I should have done that.
You know, we need fast food therapists.
Yeah.
We need therapists who are going to sit down and talk to you about your ordering experience and your consumption. Mm. And I thought life was simple. Worst part about traveling, that's your text question of the day at 312-981-7200. Phone calls welcome as well. Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
This morning on Kid of the Week, a fellow golfer, young man, this is what we call a make good in the business, because we had big technical issues on our end with telephones and things last time we tried to talk to young Benjamin Burke, who joins us now as the Kid of the Week. Benjamin!
Hey.
How are you, Benjamin?
Good.
Nice to talk to you, buddy. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. You're 10 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is that, fifth grade?
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Let's talk about your golf game. When did you start playing golf?
Like when I was like 5 or 4 at least.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't start playing until I was 14. I bet you're pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I am.
And what's the best part of your game? Are you a big stick, you a driver, or are you a better putter, or what do you do best?
I'm kind of good all around.
There
well, that's
go.
Good to hear. I like that confidence. Benjamin, at 10 years old, has been dealing with a lot in his life. He was diagnosed with leukemia 3 years ago and spent a lot of months at Ann Robert Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago. You've been dealing with chemo and various things. I understand this is a big day today, though, because you're finishing one of the meds, right?
I think on Thursday.
Oh, it's Thursday.
Thursday.
So this is a big week then, Benjamin. We'll leave it at that. It's a big week, right?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. Are you feeling good?
Yeah, I'm really feeling good about Thursday.
Excellent. Well, we're happy to hear that. What's this Lego thing you did? You built Wrigley Field with Legos?
Oh, yeah. That took probably about 50 hours to build, whoa, at least.
Benjamin, you said 50, like 50 hours?
And those Legos that I did that out of, those were not real Legos. Those were like the tiny little pieces.
Well, it makes it harder, right?
Oh, yeah. It says 4,000 pieces.
Yeah. You know what's funny, Benjamin, is you didn't even remember doing it until we brought it up, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you got a lot going on. You met Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah.
Well, what was that like? Was it cool?
I was definitely less scared than my dad was to meet Jack Nicklaus.
That makes sense.
Did you talk about golf with him?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite golfer now? Do you have a favorite pro?
What?
Do you have a favorite pro golfer right now?
No.
You like Rory McIlroy? You like
Ricky?
Oh yeah, I like Jordan Spieth.
Jordan's okay. Good.
Phil Mickelson.
Oh, you like Phil? Okay. How old do you think Phil is?
I have no clue.
Well, give me a ballpark. What do you think?
40.
Yeah, he's 48.
That's a good. Look at that.
Not a bad
good
guess.
Hey, Benjamin, you recently had a birthday party at Topgolf?
Yeah, in December, I celebrated my 10th birthday at Topgolf with a couple of my friends.
Was it fun?
Yeah. So, and also, after we played, we took a picture in front of my face at Speedway.
Nice.
Oh, wait, your face at Speedway.
It was. Now they're starting to take them down.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, you're a famous guy. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A pediatric surgeon.
Nah, that's pretty cool. I mean, you've obviously been a lot of good doctors and good nurses and stuff, so why not do that and take care of kids yourself when you get to be a grown-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your best subject at school? What are you really good at? You a math guy? Are you something else? What are you?
I like math, and also I like to write stories, so I really like literacy as well.
Have you written any stories about golfers?
No.
I say write what you know, man. Write a story about your dad freaking out when he met Jack Nicklaus.
Hey, Benjamin, I know you were in, I believe, Orlando last week. Did you play any golf while you were there?
No. So this year I was the national. I was one out of the other 11 champions.
Okay.
So I got to go to Orlando and, represent Children's Miracle Network.
Oh, that's cool. Wow. Did you do Disney or what'd you do? In Orlando, did you go to Disney?
And we went to a couple of parks.
Oh, cool.
We played mini golf.
Nice. Fun trip. Mm-hmm. You have brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers.
How old are they?
8 and 6.
Oh, you're the old man in the family.
Mm-hmm.
The 8 and 6-year-old bug you?
Yeah, most of the time.
Did your dad get a picture with Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah.
Did your dad ask Jack Nicklaus about his game and why he keeps slicing?
I don't think so.
It's probably good. Mr. Nicklaus talks to a lot of golfers.
So, Benjamin, have you started your golf season yet? I know it's still cold here.
I went to the golf dome 2 days ago. But I haven't been on the course for a while yet.
Okay.
Well, don't forget to stretch before you play and stretch after, because at your age you can get stiff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's Benjamin, our new buddy. Benjamin is the most valuable kid on the planet today. You are the kid of the week, Benjamin Burke, and thanks for all that you're doing for other people. You're a good kid, and this healthy swing you're on is just going to get better and better.
Thank you.
Have a great day, buddy. Hold on, okay?
Bye.
All right, I'm going to give Benjamin a Lou Malnati's gift certificate and an Apt gift card. He can get himself some headphones. And pretty impressive when you're wrapping up a chemo treatment on Thursday.
It is impressive, yeah. And I probably should have told him I'm sending Tiger Woods over to see his dad.
Yeah. Isn't it funny when you're a kid and you know that your dad is, or parents are embarrassed or nervous or
pretty,
something?
Pretty observant.
Yeah,
that's I was impressed. Very impressed.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. On Desert Moon. On
Desert Moon. On Desert Moon. My friend Dennis DeYoung, we caught up like, I don't know, a month ago. And we talked about him being on the show, and then we didn't do anything about it. So I gotta call him and set that up. Isn't Desert Moon a great song?
It is.
He's one of the great voices in rock and roll ever, and he's still out there touring, which I think is great because a guy his age to be active. But he's a great guy. Love Dennis. So we'll get him back on the show here. Brackets for a second. My bracket looks like a teenage kid with acne.
Dennis DeYoung is 72.
My bracket looks like a teenage kid with acne. Just, you know, just a mess. Just a mess. So I've decided to do a little experiment, if you will. And here's the experiment. I have the Sweet 16 in front of me. I am going to, not repair, but I'm going to go through the bracket quickly here. And I'm going to pick the final eight games going into the weekend.
Okay.
But only by mascot. Which mascot's better than the other mascot?
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State, Gonzaga. Florida State, of course, has the proud Seminole Indian, the Seminoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gonzaga has Spike the Bulldog. I mean, I got to go Seminoles. I got to go Noles. I got to go Seminole Indian.
Did you like dogs?
I do like dogs, but Spike the Bulldog seems gentle and kind.
Yeah. The Florida State guy looks a little angrier.
Yeah. Texas Tech. Pardon me. Texas Tech is this goofy-looking cowboyish Red Raider cartoon deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Seen him. Kind of Yosemite Sam look.
University of Michigan has Biff the Wolverine. First off, Biff is a terrible name for a Wolverine. A Wolverine is a vicious animal.
Mm-hmm. Is Biff short for something? More
Biff-tastic? Biffalopolis?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Could be a long form of Biff.
I don't know, but a Wolverine, come on.
Isn't there a fight song, Hell to the Bifters?
Yes, that's exactly right. LSU.
Wait, what are you going with?
I'm going Michigan.
Oh.
LSU, Michigan State. LSU has Mike the Tiger. Mm-hmm. Not just any tiger. Mike the Tiger.
Every school that has Tiger mascot, well, I guess you could say this about a lot of mascots, but they all kind of look the same. All the Tigers mascots. Yeah.
Well, they're all
the
from the cat family, Dave.
And Mike the Tiger, I mean, he's a gentle tiger. You know, he's a kind tiger. He's a tiger you could have hanging around the house.
Okay, but turn two pages in and look at the Auburn Aubie the Tiger.
Well, don't get ahead of yourself. We're coming.
They're made at the same mascot store.
Meanwhile, at Michigan State, you got Sparty, the mascot for Michigan State University, who is a knight with clearly who needs more fiber. That's an angry. Yes.
The biceps on Sparty cannot be denied, though.
So you got to go Michigan State. Yeah, got to go Sparty. Yeah. Virginia Tech and Duke. Duke's got the Blue Devil. And, you know, listen, I go to church most Sundays, so I have a problem with the Blue Devil. But I'm willing to consider it, at least, because Virginia Tech has something called the Hokey Bird. Mm-hmm. Which is a guy in a bad bird suit doing the hokey pokey.
Hang on. Where is this bird? I can't
read above
page two.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, obviously, just based on strength, based on intimidation, you got to go Duke.
The hokey bird looks like a turkey.
The hokey bird looks ridiculous.
He's got some feathers hanging off his behind.
Yeah. So, just to repeat now, these are our first four. Florida State moves on, Michigan moves on, Michigan State moves on, and Duke moves on.
Based on mascots.
Solely on mascots. Moving on to the other brackets. Auburn has Aubie the Tiger. Aubie the Tiger, Dave, I think we can agree, looks like a tiger from a frat house who drank too much last night.
He looks a little unbalanced.
Right?
Yeah.
He looks like a party tiger. Meanwhile, the University of North Carolina has Rameses the Ram.
Who's, by the way, in a commercial, you know, with
oh,
Roy
yeah,
Williams.
He is in that commercial.
He's in that. Yeah. He wants to take him for a test drive.
This is a tough one because a tiger, a drunken college tiger versus a ram. I don't know. That could be a tight battle. I'm going to go Ram. I'm going to go North Carolina.
Okay.
It's a good call.
Yeah. Houston University is, they're very proud. They're very Houston. They're very. unable to be found on these pages.
They'd be right below your RAM there.
Oh, did I miss it?
Shasta.
They're the cougars.
Shasta.
And by cougars, Dave, do you mean attractive older women who date younger men?
That might have been the original intent, but no, it's from the cat family.
And Shasta, the mascot, looks kind of a badass.
He does his eye makeup, the way it goes in the corners.
It's not
there.
Makeup, Mary. The they don't wear makeup.
The eyes are there. He's giving you a message there, Steve Shasta.
Meanwhile, Kentucky has the Wildcats, and the Wildcat costume for Kentucky looks like something they bought in the 50s and never replaced.
You know, it looks like the Penn State.
It looks just like
Nittany
that.
Lion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to go Shasta.
Yeah, and he's wearing they look like just mittens. They're not even.
Yeah, it's not. It's.
I think
ridiculous.
Actually, the picture we have, he might be showing a middle finger.
Is that right?
This Kentucky Wildcat.
Well,
yeah,
that's not good. Purdue has the Boilermakers.
Do you see that, Dave? The right the right paw is kind of doing a.
Mm-hmm. Purdue has the Boilermakers, and the Boilermakers is a guy in a football jersey with a sad look on his face. This is the football mascot. And a hard hat with, what is that, a ladder on his hard hat?
Kind of looks like it. That's Purdue Pete is there.
Purdue Pete.
I like how it's called the Boilermaker Special.
Meanwhile, this is a tough one, too, because the University of Tennessee has the Volunteers. And the Vols have Smokey the mascot. Smokey looks like a sweet dog.
He does.
Like a big, sweet, slobbery dog.
Come here, Smokey.
Yeah.
Come here, boy.
Yeah, like he's going to lick Dave's face.
So here's my rationale here. I'm going Smokey because I think Smokey, the Purdue Pete looks like just kind of a dope. And Purdue Pete looks like he'd be easily won over by a sweet dog, like most of us would.
Oh, Steve, I've got some information from the listeners. Mike the Tiger is actually a live tiger, just so you know. They actually have a live tiger at games.
And I'm still going to have to go with my
Biff. Biff is a name that is used to mean punch, hit, or strike. So that's why. So it's actually a tough name.
Yeah. Sure. Because Biff was on Back to the Future. Remember, Biff was the bad guy?
And ladder on the helmet for Pete, it's a train track, is what a listener
from
815 says.
Because
they
have that train come in the stadium all the time.
All right, I'm still going Smokey.
Okay,
Smokey is a comment. And finally, Oregon and Virginia in the final game. University of Virginia has a Cavalier called Cavman. And I got to tell you, Cavman looks like a guy who has finally come out and is very comfortable.
I think he kind of looks like Svengoolie.
Yeah, a little bit. But that hat, come on.
Yeah.
And Oregon is a duck. And I believe this mascot, Cavman, looks like he would kill the duck and eat the duck. So I'm going to go Virginia over Oregon. So you've got UNC, Houston, Tennessee, and Virginia. So there's a couple upsets in there.
There you go.
But I think that is the way to make these picks, because when I use basketball strategy, breakdown, and analytics, it didn't work out for me.
Yeah, next year you might want to go the mascot route, because 8 out of 16 in this year's Sweet 16.
Yeah. Am I last? I got to be last.
Yeah, you're last, dude.
Yeah, I thought so.
And who's first?
That would be you, Mary V.
Yeah.
I am?
Well, oh, yeah. Strong bracket, Mary. Strong bracket.
I am. I had no idea.
I really didn't.
Oh, I can't believe it.
You're the only one who asked what position anybody was in,
Well,
Mary.
Because I knew I had 14 of the 16, so I thought I was in kind of pretty good shape.
Can't believe I'm first. Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Walk me home in the day tonight.
(312) 981-7200. What's the worst thing about traveling? Here's a mini list. That's a text question of the day, by the way. The stranger next to you on the plane with dragon breath that wants to make a new friend and learn all about you. Let me sleep. So writes the texter. 630 TSA. You know, I don't have the same problems with TSA that people have. I mean, they're doing their job. That's all.
Yeah, I'm all for it. The more security, the better. Yeah. I mean, that's what you want.
Well, when we were coming back from Palm Springs 2 weeks ago, at LAX, I have my boarding passes on my phone, and I put my stuff in the little trays.
The bin.
And then the lady said, I need to see your boarding pass to walk through the scanner, which I don't, that's inconsistent. Not everybody.
Well, that may have been a security thing in the airport.
so, and I'm like, well, my phone's in the bin. And she's like, you're no longer pre-checked. Take off your shoes. Because I didn't have my boarding pass on me.
So she was just giving her time then.
Well, but it was, she was doing it to everybody. But it's, I've never had that. And it's like, what are the rules? I want the rules to be the same at every airport.
Well, I think I'm right about this. I could be wrong. You guys could let me know, 312-981-7200, like you normally do. But if there is a security alert, there's obviously there's different levels of alert. If there's a security alert at a particular airport, the rules change at pre-check and other places. So that may have been it.
Yeah. What about the criticism that it's just kabuki theater that, you know, well, I'm serious. There are experts who say, and they're from Israel, where they have the safest in the world, that the threat to the airline will happen long before the airport and that it won't go through security. And then you look here in the United States at all the loaded weapons that make it through security every year. What are they catching? What are they not catching? How important is it?
No, I don't disagree that it's not the best line of defense, but it is for visual security as much as it is for actual security. And if you look at the list of the crap they confiscate that they put out at the end of the year, it's pretty amazing what people try to take on airplanes. And
most of that's ignorance, though, not someone trying to be.
But still, you don't want some guy in an airplane, say, with a bayonet.
Yeah.
Or other things that have been caught. Now, Dave and I are old enough to remember a decade called the 70s and then one called the 80s. And you could go to any gate to wait for the person, you know, that came in. So you just go through.
It was kind of a pastime, almost.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to go get somebody.
Yeah, people watching. It was fun.
Especially and you'd
with
wait.
Older people, when you were picking up older people or little kids.
You think about how crowded O'Hare was last night when you and I got back.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if families could come meet their people at the gates?
No. So I actually think there has been a benefit to not to eliminating the gate welcome.
There used to be a time, too, when flying was really fun.
We talked about this yesterday.
It's just not fun anymore.
Nope. Totally agree. Continuing on the list, worst parts about traveling, this is pretty specific. Pulling into a drive-thru in a foreign country, you place your order with the speaker on the wrong side, you pay, you get your change in drachmas, even if you're not in Greece, then you get 6.2 kilometers away and realize they forgot your fries!
That would make me angry.
I love how you get 6.2 kilometers.
Right. Worst part about traveling, 815, the traveling.
Yeah.
Worst part about traveling, checking in. Self-service luggage, you know, we had golf clubs yesterday, and they're big, and you got to drag them around and stuff. Normally, of course, I have people to do that for me. But when you're dragging them around, have you done the self-service luggage tag thing?
Yes.
Nobody knows how to peel the sticker,
right?
Where the sticker should go. Yep. And it slows everything down.
I'm always helping people because it drives me crazy watching them struggle with the sticker. And it says right on there where to peel and how to match it
and
up.
Where to apply.
And everybody's always so nervous. They don't want to read the directions.
But you've all traveled and you've all seen how it stuck to your bag. So just recreate whatever you've seen done.
But then they're paid attention.
There are the two little stickers which you put on your bag. They're the
tiny
little
ones. Yeah.
Scanner codes. But my kiosk, I clicked on the, are you checking any sports equipment? Well, you're not supposed to do that with golf clubs, which seems counterintuitive.
Yeah.
So I clicked that, and then it said, wait, that meant like skis or something.
Yeah, so then you had to wait.
I had to wait for help.
Yeah, it's like when you buy beer at Jewel, and the kid's 12 who's checking you out, you have to wait for the
someone else
to come
scan you.
I like the people outside. You know how they have the
sky caps?
I'm
telling you,
amazing.
Don't be a cheapskate. Yeah. Pull up to the sky cap and check your bags on the curb. It's a good idea.
They make life easy.
By the way, Steve, biggest tipper I've been around in a long time. He's tipping everybody at the airport.
I'm telling you, the more you tip, the better service you get. You're never going to be able to convince me.
But you were tipping people who weren't even doing anything.
I know. I saw people that recognized me. Here's $20 for saying hi to me. That's why I have no money. Waiting for your bags. Last night, 45 minutes, as I mentioned earlier, not fun. And losing your luggage, they lost Dave's golf clubs on the way to play golf in Phoenix.
Yeah, they got delivered 1:30 the next morning.
Yeah.
So what did you play with?
Well, no, hadn't played yet. They came during the night.
They knocked on your door at 1:30 in the morning?
No, I asked them not to.
They came during the night. It was like Christmas. Santa.
312-981-7200, worst parts about traveling. Feel free to send yours. I always thought the incredibly intimate conversation with a member of the opposite sex who you never met, and then the awkward standing next to each other after you land. There's some sort of weird safety in the sky where you can tell the person next to you anything on a cross-country flight. You get to the end, you go, hey, I hope you have fun in L.A. And then you go stand next to them And now it's a whole different world.
So right. awkward.
Yeah.
Right.
Dave told me that when you guys landed, you had people on your plane that were trying to make connections, so they announced that let the connector people off first.
Yeah, which is an impossible thing to do. Because unless you identify the people right. that are getting off, how are you supposed to know
name, right?
How do you get out of the way? Who do you get out of the way?
The people sitting next to me, I was on the aisle, and they were looking at their boarding passes nervously because they had tight connections. I said, here, I'll step... I had nowhere to go, really, but I said, here, you just squeeze past me and go. And they did, and then Steve said, let's go.
Well, we were near the back of the plane.
Steve knocked him over.
Can I add one more, by the way?
What's that?
If you get up from your seat during the flight, don't grab the back of the seat in front of you and pull yourself up. I just dozed off, and I got the seat then ricochets back, hits me in the back of the head. This guy did it repeatedly.
Yeah, there's people don't know. You should practice getting up and down out of furniture at home without using assistance, so you're prepared on the plane just to use your own strength.
Your thighs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where the woman we had on that had the stroke, and she said knees over toes, it applies when you're getting out of your airline seat.
Right.
Position your knees over your toes. That way you don't need to use your arm rests. You don't need to use the other person's seat. You can just stand right up.
I did have one awkward experience, and I think we both know that I haven't added yet my most peeviest peeve of traveling, and that is don't you ever put your seat back if you're sitting in front of me. Nobody.
I was waiting.
Nobody.
I was watching across the aisle. I was waiting for the lady in front of you to put the seat back.
I am not doing your hair. I am not interested in you napping in my lap.
But see,
do not put your seat back.
I almost put mine back just because the guy had been grabbing the back of my seat.
Well, that was for safety's sake in your case.
Yeah.
Because you could have gotten whiplash. So don't put your seat back. 312-981-7200. That is the number for texters or for phone calls. And we're looking for a list of the worst things about traveling. At 722, the most valuable person on the planet in a moment. And Dave and Sandberg are about to plank off.
Oh, I forgot about this.
The plank off is coming.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know what we got to start talking to again is that, what's her name, Bettina Gozo?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Bettina, yeah.
That's the last time we planked, Dave, was with Bettina.
With Bettina. I think she was actually standing on my back.
Yeah.
And Bettina Gozo, she won some national fitness contest. She's a big social media influencer now. Andy Steinfeld is today's most valuable person on the planet. He has survived cancer, and he's 71 years old, and he joins us now. And wait till you hear what he does. Andy.
Hello.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you.
And you're in Minnetonka, Minnesota?
I am.
Did you ever listen to me when I was on the radio in Minneapolis?
No.
On KDWB for all those years? No. You never heard of me?
Oh.
You ever listen to the Steve Cochran Show on KDWB?
That's Steve Cochran. Yes, yeah. Of course.
Okay, don't make me smack you. I'll do it, Andy. All right, you didn't know what a plank was a few years ago. You now hold the Guinness World Record for this particular exercise in your age range. Steinfeld joined a gym a few years back. You were put through a series of exercises to see if you were fit enough to use the equipment without supervision. Turns out now you are the man. This year on his 70th birthday, how long did you hold a plank for?
Okay, first of all, it was his 71st birthday.
Okay, easy corrector. But 71st birthday, how long did you hold your plank?
For 38 minutes.
38 minutes!
But he's going in the... For his 70th birthday, he held it for 35 minutes. So he's increasing his time.
Don't you correct my corrector. So 38 minutes, you've upgraded again. The old record for your age was pretty impressive. I think it was 36 minutes and 58 seconds. Did you ever imagine you'd be able to be this physically fit?
I did not. First of all, let me put in a disclaimer. It has not been certified by Guinness.
Oh, please. That's fine. You're
but
a winner.
Of course, I expect it to be, hopefully. But... No, I didn't. I had no idea that I didn't even know what a plank was a few years ago.
So everybody can do this if you are willing and to put in the work. Everybody can get there.
Actually, that's correct because nobody can do it to start. Most people can't, but with a little work, you can. And the charts performance charts stop at 90 seconds. So if you can do 90 seconds, you're considered some kind of superhuman. And that's not too hard to surpass with a little bit of practice. So, you know, the sky's the limit with it.
And Andy, you also are a cancer survivor.
Yes, twice.
Twice. And then you had some surgery to your abdomen.
I had a very interesting journey with cancer. I discovered I had prostate cancer about 5 years ago. Had surgery, and I got a twofer because they made him. It's a robotic procedure where they make 6 incisions on your abdomen.
Okay.
And I got out of surgery midday sometime. And not supposed to be in a lot of pain, but I was in enough pain to be on morphine all day, and they did a scan and found out that they made a mistake, and they had to go back in again. So I got two for the price of one on the same day and 12 abdominal incisions.
Wow.
And then I've had a hernia in one of the places and a non-emergency appendectomy. So altogether, 14 abdominal incisions within a few years after that initial, counting the initial surgery, the twofer that day. So that kind of puts, even if somebody ties me someday, I think that gives me an advantage in this realm.
Yeah, I'd say.
Every one of those incisions is, does some weakening to your abdomen.
Well, no question about it. Do you remember how long you were able to last the first plank you ever tried?
The first plank I ever tried was, I didn't know what it was, and I joined one of these health clubs where you get 24/7 access, and there's not necessarily anybody from the staff there, so they got to make sure you're fit. So they don't want people dropping dead in the middle of the night.
Right. Somebody's got to clean that up.
Yeah, the janitors don't like it. So they put you through a few tests, and one of them, they had me do the plank, which I didn't know what it was, and they want to see if you can do it for 30 seconds. And after 10 minutes, they had to stop me, and they said, we've never had anybody, the instructors, anybody, do it for 10 minutes. And I had no idea.
So you were right out of the gate. You were good at this. You must have good abs to begin with. But in the meantime, popping it up now to 38 minutes is pretty incredible. So Dave Ennett is here, Mr. Cat, and Sandberg, Miss Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
They both are in fine shape, and they both have insisted on planking. Now, are you an elbow planker? Yeah. Because is it elbow or hands? Because when you get it up in the push-up position, that doesn't seem like a plank to me.
No, there's different categories. I do the elbow one.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
All right, okay. So pick up a spot on the floor, Dave.
Okay.
And Sandberg. Sandberg, leave your mic on so we can hear you guys.
Yep.
And they're going to plank now while you and I continue talking, Andy.
Can I plank too?
All right.
Yeah. You want to come in here to
I'll
plank or you going to plank there? Come on in. Come on in and plank. Here's something you don't hear that often. Can I plank too? They're getting ready on the floor right now. Yeah, Steve, you've got a newscast to prepare for.
I have to prepare my news.
Exactly.
I do too, Steve.
Are you guys planking right now? I can't see from this angle.
Yeah, we are. We're planking.
All right, so the clock is running. Mary Vandeveld has joined in to plank as well. Andy, how about a planker's tip? What's the best thing to do with planking? Is it a mental thing? Do you don't think about it?
It's a very mental thing because there's nothing on earth more boring to do than to be staring at the floor a few inches away and, you know, while you're straining. So you got to do mental things like sing or listen to music, have people talk to you. The only thing I haven't tried is, you know, putting down a phone with a movie on it or something.
No,
That would probably be a good thing to do.
Look at that. That's a good pro tip. All right, stand by. They're still planking, Michael?
Is there any loose change down there?
Steve, all the blood's running to my head.
All the blood is running to his head. Do you have any advice on that, Andy?
Let's see. You'd have to put your head higher.
Put your head higher, Dave. It's the only way to save yourself.
Thank you.
Dave needs to lower his rear end and raise his head from this angle.
All right, so Steve says, Dave, you need to lower your rear end and raise your head.
That's a good idea.
That's a pro tip from Steve Grzanich in the newsroom.
Yes, and you come in here.
Well, no, it was just endorsed by our caller there.
Yes, that's exactly right. They've been going for a few minutes now, Andy, so we'll let you know how they do. But in the meantime, you are the most valuable person on the planet. We're going to send you a few things. Stay healthy, my friend.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate you being on. We'll come back with the headlines on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
More of the worst of traveling coming up, 312-91-7200. Yogi Berra would have been 91 this week. One of the nicest guys I ever met in sports, by the way. And one of the shortest.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I met a yogi later in life, and he was shrinking while I was talking to him a few times. But some of the greatest yogi quotes. Yogi was maybe the greatest quote of all time, because yogi had yogi-isms.
Who was the comedian? Was it Norm Crosby, who kind of did the same thing, except... It wasn't really a routine for Yogi.
Nope. Yogi was just doing Yogi. Here are a few of the greatest Yogi Berra quotes on the week of his 91st birthday. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. He hits from both sides of the plate. You know, he's amphibious. It's impossible to get a conversation going. Everybody's talking too much. I don't know if they were men or women running around naked on the field. They had bags over their heads. That was during the streaking era.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy my kids an encyclopedia. Let them walk to school the way I did. I never said most of the things I said. It ain't the heat, it's the humility. So I'm ugly. I never saw anybody hit with his face. Hey, listen, take it with a grain of salt. The towels were so thick at that hotel, I could barely close my suitcase. Little League baseball is a very good thing because it keeps parents off the street. I'm lucky. Usually you're dead when you get your own museum, but I'm still alive to see mine.
I'm looking at pictures of him right now because I had to refresh my memory of who he is. And even when he's young, he's old.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's an old man when he was
kind of looks like Benjamin Button.
I had a friend who was very, 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 very pregnant and very, very, very not a sports fan. And he was in an event. This is probably in the last couple of years of his life. She didn't know who he was. She ended up grabbing a seat at his table. There were a lot of other older folks there. Yogi loved that she didn't know who he was. And when they got into small talk about what they do, Yogi said, well, you know, I was in flooring quite a bit. I was on my knees quite a bit. You know, it's tough on your knees. And everybody sort of let it go along. She gets in the car afterwards with her husband. And he goes, well, how was that? How was what? The talking with them. You mean the older guy? He's a very sweet man. That was Yogi Berra. She goes, who's Yogi Berra?
Yeah. I've been in a few situations like that.
No one goes there nowadays. It's way too crowded. Baseball is 90% mental. The other half's physical. Nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. Congratulations. I knew that record would stand until it was broken. You better cut the pizza in four pieces. I'm not hungry enough to eat six. You wouldn't have won if we beat you. I usually take a two-hour nap from 1 to 4. Never answer an anonymous letter. Slump? I ain't in no slump. I'm just not hitting. How can you think and hit at the same time? Hey, the future ain't what it used to be. It gets late early out there. We have deep, deep depth. All right, everybody, pair up in threes. Why buy good luggage? You only use it when you travel. It may be my favorite of all time. Always go to other people's funerals. Yeah. Otherwise, they're not going to come to yours.
Great advice.
Yogi Berra-isms on the week that would have been his 91st birthday.
I was a waitress at a sports bar in Grays Lake called Bakes, and the owner was friends with some Chicago Bear people. And one time, Mike Shula came in, who was a coach for the Bears, and he was very cute. And so I was telling my dad that I waited on Mike Shula, who was, I don't know what, he wasn't a head coach, but he was, you know, a position coach or something.
Son of Don.
Well, and I said, and my dad said, who was he with? And I said, oh, he was with his dad. And my dad said, that's Don Shula, but I didn't know.
Oh, he didn't know Don Shula.
His dad meant nothing to me.
Super Bowl winning, all-time great NFL coach. Yeah. You just thought he was cute.
Mike Shula was cute, and his dad was there, and he was old.
No, look how cute he is. Look at how cute he is. Oh, he's like even cuter because he's hanging out with his old father.
Mary, right. The steakhouse across the street is named after the dad.
See that hotel right there?
Right over there.
That's not Mike Shula's. That's Don Shula's.
Mike was pretty cute, though.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life
life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Texter said, texting in, worst part about traveling, kids on planes. I don't know about it. As long as
you're a bad judge.
As long as you are paying attention to the child, then you're fine. But if you're a parent who's letting the kid run up and down the aisle and the kid's screaming for no reason, like, for instance, a woman that was sitting in front of us on the way to Phoenix, a mom with a little baby that was maybe 2 or 3 months old, and then an older little girl that was 4 or 5. And the little baby was crying, obviously, but she handled it beautifully. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to take care of the kids.
As I told someone once, when my daughter was little and was unhappy on a plane, and she was crying, she was sick, and I muttered under my breath, go buy your own plane if you don't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind a kid's section myself.
It's not going to change things.
Let's put them.
Yeah, you're still going to hear them.
Yeah, yeah, it'll work just as well as the smoking section. There was a smoking section.
Yeah, there used to be.
Oh, yeah, married. Don't.
There used to be these little tiny seat signs on top of the seats that, in behind that seat sign, you could smoke. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. You're flying in a can, but these people can smoke, but up front you don't have to.
That's hilarious.
And you
That's
never stupid. Smelled it at all.
No. 920 texter, first time nervous flyers.
Well, it's not their fault.
No, but if they're grabbing your arm and digging their fingernails into your arm, that's...
I won't fly with my sister because she's a nervous flyer, which makes no sense because she has also done skydiving quite a few times, but then she's nervous just on regular domestic flights.
Oh, hold on. She's nervous on the inside of the plane?
Yes. She's more comfortable doing... I don't know what it is.
That's crazy.
I'm convinced it's in her head, but she grabs me so hard.
By the way, that was a yogiism. Of course it's in there. 815, worst thing about traveling, coming back to Chicago on the coldest day of the year after getting off a Caribbean cruise where it was 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
217, worst thing about traveling, deplaning. People are slow to get off. You are slow to get off. Here's the thing. Let me tell you something. If you're wondering if you're being judged because you brought too much carry-on crap on the plane, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. Everyone on the plane is judging you. If you need physical help from everyone else to stuff your oversized bag into the overhead, it's too friggin' big.
And by the way, those bags are meant to go in with wheels first. Into the bag. You don't turn them sideways just because you have too much stuffed in.
Boy, you guys sound like Orion now.
Orion won't even help anyone lift their bag up. If it's too heavy to for them to lift, he's not lifting it.
Well, Orion's got the best idea. So stop charging for the luggage thing at the bottom of the plane. Make that free. Charge for the carry-on space.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with Orion.
One more. 847, I sat next to a woman on her way to Florida to marry a man she had just met online. I was polite, but she was reading her love letters out loud to me because she thought I'd be touched.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
And then I said, Pookie? It's 757, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be in a moment. Coming up, Moron Entertainment with Dean in a moment. We'll take up this Michael Avenatti story. The wheels come off of this nutcase or what? He is implicated and accused in a $20 million blackmail scheme against Nike. And there is an individual number one and unindicted co-conspirator that could be charged as soon as today. Mark Garagos. Remember that name? Celebrity attorney. Until very recently, CNN contributor. Garagos is a multi-millionaire. Avenatti may be broke, but how would those... I don't know. People are nuts.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
It is 8:10. It's More on Entertainment. More on Entertainment. If you're a new listener to the show, thank you. And More on Entertainment is where Dean Richards, legendary American critic, and me, critic not so legendary, get together and tell you more on entertainment.
Dean, do you go by critic or do you go by reporter?
You know, it's more criticizing him. We're stalling. Just wait for him to get to his microphone.
Okay. In the meantime, before... people can go to WGN Radio Facebook page and they can see us planking
for
Oh, is that up now?
It is up. 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
So a story we'll try to get to later. The family that owns Krispy Kreme.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that crazy?
Krispy Kreme, Panera Bread, and Einstein Brothers, amongst other places, profited from the Nazi regime. They're giving $11 million American to charities throughout Germany in particular. I don't know what to make of that.
It is important to say that the family did not know until recently that they had that connection. I don't know if it was some testing that was done or some new genealogy, but my understanding is the family had no knowledge that it was.
And there's no way that anybody currently involved in the company could have been alive then, right, to do that?
No,
right.
I don't think so.
And they said, I think their statement was, we didn't know, and those people are dead now, but they should have been in jail. Like, they have very strong feelings about it.
You make your own decisions in life, but I suppose that you could decide not to go to Einstein Brothers, Panera Bread, or Krispy Kreme, but then you're penalizing the family for something they didn't know that their ancestors were involved in. Where's Dean? Do we know?
He sent us a list.
Yeah.
I saw him on Channel 9 just a little while ago.
Yeah. I'm sure he's available. Do we have an engineer looking into this? Do we have a problem there? Okay.
All right. While we're doing that, do you want to try planking?
Do I want to? And I don't always say try. I mean, I could do it very soon.
We could get you. Steve Grzanich and Steve Cochran both did not have an opportunity.
Steve off.
Oh, Steve off. Yeah, I love it. Is Steve Bertrand here yet?
Because Steve Bertrand is here, yes.
Oh, the three Steves.
Steve is going to fill in for me since I'm writing my next newscast.
Right, and I'm waiting for Dean to come back. Otherwise, I'd do 20, 30 minutes easy.
Oh, okay.
Got the Navy Pier 4th Annual Job Fair coming up.
Yeah, a lot of summer jobs opening up, and so people, if you're looking for some employment, that might be a good spot to go. Plus, it's a good view when you go and check out those job fairs.
Also in the 9 o'clock hour, Jeremy Colleton from your Chicago Blackhawks will be joining us as well. So normally at this time, you'd hear Dean, and we'd be talking about stuff. But right now, for whatever reason, we can't hear Dean. Could somebody call Dean? Let's get him on the phone. Okay.
In the meantime, I know one of his top stories is Justin Bieber taking a break, which we talked about earlier in the top six at six.
Yes, we did. And
did you work as a teen? Did you have jobs as a kid?
Oh, sure, yeah. Started working when I was 14.
Well, you had a short-lived fast food restaurant job, right?
I caddied.
Oh, you caddied. Okay.
Yeah, I caddied. Then I worked at Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips for 2 days.
2 days. Mary, also, you worked at a fish joint, didn't you?
Same one. Arthur
Seriously?
Treacher's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, not the same one.
No. Mine was in Villa Park.
Yeah, mine was in Ithaca, New York.
How long did your run go, Mary?
Approximately 8 months.
How come 8 months?
Because I couldn't stand smelling like a fish.
Yeah, and mine lasted.
I hated the orange.
Mine lasted 2 days because we mutually agreed I sucked.
Okay.
I couldn't just because it's really complicated. You take a frozen fish fillet, you drop it in hot oil, you take it out, and you wrap it up.
See, I didn't mind doing that. I couldn't handle the cash register. I was really bad at it.
Every one of my fish fillets looked like they'd been in a car accident. They were all disasters.
Mary, the cash register back then, too, was a lot different than it is now, right? It was just...
Well, you had to make change.
Yeah, you had to add things up. Yeah.
Oh, so that was part was challenging. Were you on the front line at all, Steve, or you just were in charge of fish?
No, I had a...
You worked there, too?
No. Are you talking about my summer job?
Oh, yeah.
No, I had a paper route for about 3 weeks and then quit. Screaming, and then worked at a radio station when I was a kid.
You did. You were on the radio like 16 or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, 15. Yeah. Actually, 15 and a half.
I took a job as a for a paper route, but my parents did the paper route.
It was awful.
I never. Papers. Yeah, they were heavy, and there was my houses were not close together, and so it was really unreasonable.
Well, did you
for
at
me.
Least get up and roll the papers?
Oh yeah. No. My mom and dad did it, and I would spend the night at
then
friends.
Then you did not have a paper route.
Yeah, and I rode my bike to deliver papers, and then when it rained, you had to wrap them in plastic before.
Well, Dave, you were a paper boy. In D.C.
Yeah, I was a paper boy for years.
Did your parents do your route ever?
No.
For you?
Washington Post?
No, Washington Star, the Evening Star, which was so during the week, it was in the afternoon, but then there was a Sunday morning edition. Hmm. So where I'd get up at 5 o'clock.
That's the thing. The weekend paper put a crimp on my social life, so I couldn't. Yeah. My parents did it.
I played a lot of baseball when I was a kid, so I would time it. So when the Sunday paper came, I'd be out there with a bat and I'd just whack it when they threw it out of the car.
That was perfect. I broke a storm door. I told you that story. Broke a storm door throwing the paper.
Nice arm on you. Pete McMurray joins us. What do you want?
I was the greatest paper boy in the history of paper boys in Peoria, Illinois from 1977 to 1981.
4 years.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Peoria Journal Star. It was tough. I did the afternoon route when they had two different papers. Remember, the morning and the afternoon, and then I delivered early morning on the weekends.
Oh my God.
Joe, is my Peoria Journal Star subscription, is that still in order?
Do we
still
have it? Canceled it once I worked with Pete.
Pete, did you do that on foot, or were you on a bicycle, or how did you deliver them?
I walked. Yeah. Who had, I barely had a wagon to pick up the bundles of papers. I had 5 bundles on the weekends. It was rough.
Were you wearing the same leather pants you wear now?
Yes, of course. Yes. They keep the heat in.
Yeah, it must have been chafing in the summertime.
Did you have the bag, the sack, which had the little pocket inside to put your route book in?
Of course, right. Remember you had to go collect to people and they'd get so angry when you'd knock on their door and ask them for money?
You know, this is like an inside Paperboy tip here on Paperboy Corner. Dean, are you with us?
I am.
Oh, there's Dean.
Oh, somebody just sent a picture of that bag. The problem with that paper bag is it draped down to, like, my knees. It was too long.
Yeah, the straps
are
too long.
I had to tie up the strap. Yeah.
My bra's the same way.
I was a paper boy also.
Was that your first job?
Yeah, I guess it was. I delivered the Chicago American in the afternoon.
That's the, what, was it commie paper?
It was, no.
Oh. It was a tabloid.
It was the afternoon newspaper. Was it even a tabloid?
I think it was a tabloid, at least by the time I got to town.
Now, Dean, you grew up in the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
So was it, did you just have it all in one building, or did you actually have to go to different places?
No, it was, I don't know, like a 6-square-block radius, something like that, on my bike, my Schwinn Typhoon bike.
Okay, but did either one of you double bag for 2 women, 1 a hooker, 1 a slicer, and walk 10 miles in 1 round of golf for a 50-cent tip? No, I don't think you did.
you win.
The Chicago, I'm thinking Chicago Today was the tabloid,
that was
not
a little
the
more
American.
Tabloid. Yeah, yeah. The American was...
That was the commie paper.
Like the afternoon, version of the Tribune.
Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah, I'm confused.
I delivered some kind of Lake County paper. I can't think of the name of it right now.
That was probably the other commie.
That's before I went on to my stellar A&P career in Hyde Park. So. I could have been a manager by now. If I'd stuck with it, I could have been a manager.
You know what was great about A&P?
They were still in business.
You know what was great about A&P? The coffee grinder at the end of the aisle.
8 o'clock
you could
coffee.
Smell the coffee grounds when they were being...
Yeah, you always sneak a couple of coffee beans and toss them in your mouth while you're grinding.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Excuse the expression.
That's nice to hear.
That's like the coffee beans that were in the Sambuco that Orion had us drink the other night.
Ooh. That was a good grinder.
Well, good for you. I don't know what to do with that information. Justin Bieber, what did Apple reveal yesterday? Michael Madsen, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Michael Jackson, celebrity real estate, and what is Mark Garagos doing hanging out with Michael Avenatti?
Mm-mm.
Maybe they'd be cellmates, all that coming up here.
Not this morning, I'll bet.
Just a second. Pete, you're on air tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. Yep.
10 to 1 tomorrow night?
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the call. Go deliver your paper.
Explain why Pete hasn't texted me today. Yes, Pete texts me every morning right around this time. I was wondering why he didn't text me today because he was talking to you.
He's given up on me. He actually came in. He texts all the time. He came in. He goes, how come you don't return my text? I go, you mean within 4 seconds of when you text them?
He does expect an immediate response.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does he text you, Steve, how are you feeling?
No. No, but you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. You know what happened to me yesterday? We're on the rental car bus. We dropped the rental car off.
That's the worst part about traveling.
It's not good. On the rental car bus, and we're coming back, and there's a family there, like a swimming family. You know, they were there for some swim tournament or something. And
that was their name.
The swimming family, Bob and Connie Swimming. So I'm standing up, holding on to the bar, and there's a couple of kids sitting in the seat. And the mom of the 2 kids, a very attractive woman, I would say 50, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. She looks at me like I'm like I'm near death. She looks at me and she goes, "Would you like to sit down, sir?" Because I could have my kids move. Sir, would you like to, sir, can you hear me? Sir, would you like to sit down?
And everyone on the rental car bus turned and looked at Steve.
Yeah. With that look in their face, like, oh, yeah, he should probably sit. Oh, boy, if the bus turns too fast, he might fall and break his hip.
Well, I'm sure it's weird that she would say that to you with that big smile on your face, probably.
Yes, as I usually have on my face. Actually, I was so upset about it, I went up to where she was sitting, and I punched her husband right in the face. And he hadn't said a word to me. But I was very nice of her, thinking I was 79 and a half or whatever she thought I was.
By the way, the kids weren't moving.
No. Never made an offer.
No.
And I could have standed, you know, I could have sat because of my hip. You know, I got a trick hip. We'll come back in just a moment with all the moron entertainment.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richardly Entertainment.
Dean was apparently being held hostage, but he's at the microphone.
I wasn't expecting you to be on time.
Ooh.
That's a good excuse. Tell that
Burn.
To your attorney. Tell that to your attorney.
I was looking at the clock. I was like, yeah, he's got at least 5 more minutes.
Just so you know, the listeners, the paper I delivered was the Waukegan News Sun, which is now owned by Sun Times. That is the paper.
Oh, that's the commie paper.
And you know what we had to do, Dean? We had to go on these where you'd have to go door to door and ask people if they wanted a subscription.
That was the worst.
I was not good at that.
Truly the worst job.
It was horrible. Nobody ever wanted a subscription.
Hey, do you want a paper? It's okay if you don't.
That was my salesmanship technique.
You got a worst thing about traveling that we're doing that as the text question today. You're on planes all the time. You're traveling.
It's the person who's inconsiderate. Your person sitting next to you who is inconsiderate of common space.
Oh, the elbow, the armrest grabber.
The armrest grabber, or just people who, you know, they think they're in their lazy boy at home.
Yeah.
There's other people sitting there. You have to be a little more...
I'm surprised nobody's texted in people who take off their shoes on the plane.
Yeah, that's gross.
Leave your shoes on. Nobody wants to smell your feet.
It's the shoe and sock person that really... I'm so used to people that taking their shoes off now, but some people have their socks off, too.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
You know, and the nudists. You know, the people that just take all their clothes off. I mean, that's unnecessary.
Not necessary. On a long flight.
Justin Bieber's taking a break from music.
He has decided that he needs to focus, as he puts it, on some deep-rooted issues, emotional issues. So he wants to be as strong as he possibly can for his marriage and for his family. And said he's going to take some time off of music so he can work out some issues and be a better person.
Well, I'm rooting for him.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad thing. Michael Madsen's in trouble.
Another DUI for him over the weekend. He wrapped his car around a pole in...
Is that L.A. or here?
Malibu. Yeah, in Malibu. He was booked and released on $15,000 bail. This is his second DUI. And he did a stint in rehab back in 2013 as well. So not a good follow-up story there.
Big Apple rollout yesterday. Their big thing was they introduced a couple of things. Apple Plus News, which is basically a digital magazine stand, which for $10 a month you'll have access to 300 different magazines. I don't know how that's special, though. Aren't a lot of people doing that?
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that. I don't get that. But
how about this Apple credit card? Is that good?
I don't understand what the deal is with that. That you get a card, but you don't need to have the card in order to use it. I guess it's digitally, I guess it would apply like Apple Pay.
Like your Apple Pay, yeah.
Yeah, so why wouldn't it cannibalize Apple Pay? Why wouldn't you just try to encourage people to use Apple Pay?
I think they're probably going to make money because they're joined with MasterCard now, so they're going to make probably interest money is what I'm guessing that partnership is. And what I was wondering, Dean, is, you know, we have Netflix, we have Amazon Prime Music, we have Apple Music, and now it's like, should I get Apple TV next?
Apple TV is the new Netflix.
In addition, Apple
TV Plus.
Yeah. Right, but they're showing different programming, so we're racking up, you know, these cable cutters that don't want cable.
Yeah, now you're still going to spend $200.
I'm adding all the subscription television.
Of course you are. Yeah. That's how they get you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why they were rolling out stars like crazy yesterday.
Right.
Oprah is going to have some new documentaries on there. She's bringing her book club.
Jennifer Aniston was at
and
that.
And Reese
point.
Witherspoon, yeah, because they're going to have the zany new show of talking about the crazy world of morning television.
Octavia Spencer is going to be part of it, and a few minor names in movie making like Steven Spielberg, J.J. Abrams, Ron Howard, and Mike Shyamalan.
Hacks.
They're all going to be part of this as well. And I don't know if we're allowed to make the announcement that Moron Entertainment TV Plus will also soon be featured.
Yeah, and we're giving you $10 a month to subscribe.
We are the only program that actually pays you to listen to us.
And there's new iPods, which I didn't think anybody even used an iPod anymore. iPods, iPads, and what do you call the earpods? What do you call those?
AirPods. The thing about an iPod, if you're a worker outer and you get tired of using your phone as your device of music.
Yeah, but then you have to carry an extra device.
Well, no, because when you're working out, you don't need your phone.
Need your phone.
You could go for a run and just have the music.
My phone is with me all the time. Very important.
Steve makes a lot of big deals while he's on the treadmill.
Yeah, hello? Hey, yeah, I'm working out right now. What is it, huh?
Do you have Richie Robinson on the treadmill?
Yeah, that's my deal.
I'm going to bring it up to 4.0, see?
That's my deal-making voice.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's not a negotiation.
Yeah, look at the gams on that elliptical. Yeah. See?
Hold on, I'm talking to a hot dame. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, what are they doing about Michael Jackson?
They're not going to do anything. A lot of places, streaming services, are taking their Michael Jackson music down. Radio stations have stopped playing it. There was this Children's Museum in Indianapolis last week that announced that they were taking their Michael Jackson stuff down because of the allegations in the documentary from a couple of weeks ago. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame says that they are going to leave the Michael Jackson exhibit as it is.
Does that include the chimp?
The chimp is not part of it, but they say that they have put this exhibit up for Michael as an artist, that his music should stand separately from anything else.
Yeah, you know what?
And they are honoring his music.
I totally get that, and I agree. Pete Rose ought to be in the Hall of Fame. It's what you did on the field. It's what you did in music. It's what you did in comedy. I mean, Bill Cosby belongs in prison for the rest of his life, but he is still one of the great comedians of all time.
Correct. Have you offended Dean?
Oh, no, you went away for a second.
Yeah, I was just letting it linger. Before we get to the celebrity real estate deal, Michael Avenatti, I mean, I don't know if any of us are surprised that Michael Avenatti's going to jail in all likelihood because he did a nutcase.
Allegedly.
Not in my world. So he supposedly tried to get $20 million from Nike, and there was an unindicted co-conspirator that obviously has leaked out. And it's Mark Garagos, the celebrity attorney.
Allegedly.
This is the guy that used to read the commie paper that you guys delivered in Chicago.
Allegedly. He was the attorney for, talking about Michael Jackson, for one of his trials back in the early 2000s. And currently is representing Jussie Smollett. Allegedly.
So Michael Avenatti.
Hold on, we're working with more dead air.
Oh, sorry.
Leaving a lot of really big spaces here.
Pregnant pauses.
When we do that, we sound more like WBEZ. That makes us sound smarter.
Or any show Dahl did.
Yeah.
But Mark Garagos, his alleged net worth is $25 million. So why he would get into some deal with Avenatti, I don't know. There's a lot we don't know about this story.
Allegedly.
All I know is my president, Donald Trump, isn't involved in anything. And you have a celebrity real estate deal?
Oh, Steve, if I got a deal for you today.
Let's go to the wallet.
It is, as a lot of people know, I'm expanding my real estate franchise now, celebrity real estate that I do on the side. And Sandy Bullock got a hold of me.
Sandy did?
Sandy did. Said that she's looking to get rid of her beachfront property that she has.
Okay.
In Tybee Island, Georgia.
All right.
This is a beautiful oceanfront community.
Tough listing for you since you have to fly across country?
Not a bit. Not for Sandy. Anything for Sandy.
Sure.
3,300 square foot, 7 bedrooms, 5.5 bathrooms. Sits on 3.5 acres, gourmet kitchen, private beach. It's got a separate guest house, 3-bedroom guest house, that has its own game room.
Mm-hmm, mine, I mean, too.
Yeah, I've talked about Honey of a Deals before, but this no honey has been.
And it's right on the ocean?
This one, right on the ocean. Wow. John Mellencamp also lives on this island. So,
oh, does if you get downwind, do you smell cigarettes?
You can smell the cigarettes, I'm afraid. It's the only downsize, and that's why it's at the reasonable asking price of $6.5 million.
Well, that's not bad on the water.
Yeah.
What about just for the guest house?
I think you have to buy both.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't think you can
buy both. All right, $6.5 million, that's the listing if you want to go through all the hoo-ha of buying it the normal way. I got $162 in cash on me right now.
Yeah.
Dave?
Let's see. Well, I did tip the guy at O'Hare, but I still got, I'm in good shape, 132.
Oh. All right, so we're up to 294. Anybody else want in on this?
Does it come with a newspaper subscription?
It does not. But by the way, none of you are coming to the house unless you contribute. $294.
I have no cash
twice.
On me. No, don't have enough.
So, all right. Again,
Sandy,
Dean.
Sandy, they've got about $294 on them right at the moment. Hello? Hello?
We're working with dead air.
Hello? Hello? Doing my Bob Newhart pretend one-sided phone.
Sure.
Hey, what'd you say, Sandy?
None of the cash offers we've made through the years have ever been taken, but I feel
so far.
I feel good about this one. $294.
It's just a matter of
time. I think
time.
We drive the price up, though. We're the opening bid, and then
we'd be the stalking
us.
Horse.
Yeah.
I believe we're the stalking horse's ass.
If we get it to an even three, I think we got a shot.
All right, I can find $6.
I don't think so. That's $300 is how much John Mellencamp smokes in one day.
You're probably not lying.
I'm looking at some vacation properties in Tybee Beach. We could rent a house for about $300 a night.
What time's your next hit on TV?
About 20 minutes.
Why don't you show up around 9:15 for that one?
Maybe I won't show up at all.
Oh, okay. See you later. Bye. Thanks. That's Dean Richards. Your headlines are next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world and in every port.
Most annoying things about traveling, you texters getting it done as usual. 312-981-7200. 6-3-0, my husband brings a newspaper on every flight, even if he's not going to read it. The person in front of him puts their seat back. He opens up the paper, rattles it, and makes sure it touches the top of their head. Works every time. You know, it's not a bad idea. Like, if I were to let somebody lean back in their seat, if I just reached over the seat and went, coochie, 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 that would probably fix the problem. 847, morning, gang! From Dominic in Franklin Park. We're saying about traveling, getting used to the hotel bed. The very last night at that hotel is when you get used to the hotel bed.
Yeah, that always happens.
That and if you stay in a hotel that, I mentioned this to you last night, stay in a couple of hotels where, and during the winter, the radiator thumps on during the night and jars you
clunk.
Out of bed. Yeah.
Clunk, rattle. And you, the other thing we're talking about is every hotel room. It's either too hot or too cold.
Yeah.
And then, and it's the shower, too. Like, the shower goes from too cold to a 10,000-degree difference, like in a quarter of a millimeter-inch move in the shower.
And you turn the faucet in a different direction to for hot or cold, depending what hotel you're in.
Yep. 708, in my late 20s, I was seated next to a man from Austria, loved his accent, had a good conversation, and we shared a blanket and fell asleep together. When we've landed in New York, flight attendant gave us one claim form. That's not a bad thing about traveling. That's a story that you'll always remember and someday tell your friend Steve on the radio.
I wouldn't want to share a blanket with my husband on a plane.
Well, because you don't want to touch the blanket.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Well, they wrap them.
Yeah. No,
they're wrapped in plastic. Yeah.
After the person used it on the last flight.
Yeah, then they put them back in plastic. Yeah.
Worst part about traveling is you can't get WGN on the radio, but yes, you can.
You can
tune in anywhere else, anywhere in the world.
If they have Wi-Fi, I think you'll need Wi-Fi for that.
Yeah.
You might be able to download the podcast as well.
847, if you're crying about crying babies on a plane, you're a bigger baby than the babies on a plane that are crying.
Yeah, the crying isn't the part that I don't care for. It's the getting up and down constantly, the kids walking around. And
what about the super cute kid in front of you keeps popping his head up and staring
at
you?
See, I don't find that charming.
It's charming for the first 100 times.
Yeah, they're and they're usually there's food in their hands and they drop things and
or they cough in your face.
Yeah, it's not as tidy as I'd like.
312. I would only I 312. I would pay more if they had adult only flights. Some airline must do that, right? I would think. You know, one of them crazy European airlines. 847, having a no smoking section on a plane is like having a no peeing section in the pool.
That's very funny.
815, I agree with Steve. I'm tall. I don't think seat should recline at all. We're packed in too tight to be allowed to practically lie back. Actually, you know, thanks for that, but that's the other thing that's idiotic about people that adjust their seats. It goes back about a tenth of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Really uncomfortable? Super comfortable.
Right. No, it's not. I think it's just mental.
847, worst thing about travel is your mother-in-law waiting at the end of the flight.
Oh.
630, finding... Oh, God, I had this happen once. Finding a used diaper in a seat pocket.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. That seat pocket is more deadly than any place on earth. You know, you don't never want to put anything in there.
And reading that magazine they give you?
Don't do it.
No.
Or use your tray table without sanitizing it first.
Yeah, don't do it.
If we didn't allow people to eat or drink on the planes, we would not need the tray tables. Then you wouldn't need to sanitize anything.
So you don't think people should eat or drink? What if you're flying to Australia?
Well, that's an exception. But if you're on a three-hour flight, you can wait to eat till you get off.
And by the way, I think you need water.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I think you do.
Something else to sanitize? The remote control in your hotel room.
Oh, absolutely. It's nasty. Yeah, without a doubt. I just spray down the entire room when I come in. I have an exterminator come in and just hit the entire room.
You're laughing? That's not a bad idea.
847, I hate when people try to stuff everything in the overhead bins and leave no room for other passengers. We were talking about that earlier in the show, the sideways suitcase stuffers.
Well, there was somebody above you, or rather must have been your row, or actually across from you, who had put a backpack up in the overhead, and now someone's trying to get a suitcase up there. The backpack is just big enough to take up space, right, but doesn't need to go up there.
No.
So put the backpack under your seat
right,
and let someone else have that for their roller bag.
847, by the way, did you see there's a woman sitting in front of you? There's an attractive younger woman sitting in front of you who she had a piece of luggage that weighed about 200 pounds.
I put it up in the overhead.
Yeah, and then to get it back down, she goes, oh, could one of you strong guys get that down for me? She's working the room. Yeah.
This person also, you don't have it on your list yet. The problem with the kids is when they're kicking the back of your seat. That's my big, that drives me crazy.
But again, that's the parents not watching.
Yeah, parents have to.
So we don't like the parents. Yes.
Bad parents make bad kids. Worst thing about traveling, sick people who don't cover their mouth or nose.
Yeah.
They should be thrown off the plane. There should be a door you could open in the back, and you throw them out.
There was a lot of that on our plane.
Yeah, a lot of coughing. I wonder why I'm coughing this morning. 630, people who use the bathroom before takeoff. I travel 26 weeks per year for the last 9 years. I've never used an airplane lav. Hold your water, people.
Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. As long
but
as you're not blocking
takeoff,
Steve. As long as you're not blocking people in the aisle and you're quick about it, and you get back to your seat without slowing down the boarding process.
You know what? The quick thing—that's another thing. You're reading in there. You're taking your phone in there. You're checking your email. Get in and get out. Aside from the fact it's nasty in there,
and you're
get in
to
and
wipe
get out.
The sink. Wipe. Does people leave the water in the sink? They don't understand how you're supposed to leave it as you found it.
All of it.
We were flying through some turbulence on Friday. And the captain had asked the flight attendants to sit down, and people are still getting up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's a reason they're telling you not to walk around the cabin right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they fly all the time. They should know. My husband and I were on a flight when a carry-on dog took a dump in its carry-on case.
Oh, my God.
Ew.
Stunk up the whole plane.
This is, you know how much I love dogs and stuff.
Yeah, stop it.
It's got to be over.
Stop it. 708, people decide to bring stinky food on the plane.
Yeah.
And 262, everybody's attitude. Like, they just can't stand anyone. No speaking or being nice. Your soundproof headphones to make sure you don't interact with anyone. Talking on the phone like I'm part of your conversation. It's an uncivil environment. So
I tried to talk to Steve on the plane yesterday, but he had his earbuds in.
There's a person that
I didn't want Dave to notice.
This person said that the flight attendant had their bag behind her seat, pushing it forward, so she had to sit forward for 4 hours.
Don't think I'd do that.
All the way to Vegas.
Yeah, I'd go, what are you doing?
Oh, that's horrible.
What are you doing? 312-981-7200.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's I-58. The CLTV hour is coming up. There's a job fair at Navy Pier we're going to tell you about in a few minutes as well. Keep those texts coming. 217, y'all sound like pompous jerks. Why? We're just pointing out things that annoy us on the plane.
A lot of these I don't understand why that's pompous. Annoy me in regular public spaces.
Yeah. And somebody else pointed out, kids could be special needs. Do you honestly think if you've ever heard 10 minutes of this show, 5 minutes of this show, 2 minutes of this show, that we would be making fun of special needs kids?
Yeah.
No. Lighten up, Francis. It's a minute before 9, and the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be in just a moment. Stand by for that. Texter said, in addition to all the helpful listeners, I just saw Anna on a plane in the cockpit staring into the eyes of the pilot holding what appeared to be an in-depth conversation. Who the hell's flying the plane? Is that our Anna?
It's a simulator. She's in a simulator this morning.
Oh, is that Balaval?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually pretty cool. I've been watching it. It looks like she's actually in a plane flying somewhere.
I'll tell you right now, here's who I don't want in the cockpit. Anna Balaval.
Why?
Can you imagine her in a cockpit? She's got more ADD than I do. What's this button do?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
News on politics today is more of the same, but Mitch McConnell, God, is he just a human speed bump? Mitch McConnell blocked a unanimous Senate resolution yesterday to show the full Mueller report to America, saying that the attorney general needed more time to look at it. This is the same attorney general who took 2 days to make his decision. Of course, the other things in the news include a new poll that's out that shows Trump's popularity remains the same, level in the low 40s. There's another poll. This is why polls are stupid. Polls are stupid unless they show positive news for this show. But polls are stupid for the following reason. They ask potential voters and people who say, I'm definitely going to vote in 2020. First off, there should never be a potential voter. Get off your ass and vote. But the people that say they'll vote in 2020, 78% listed government corruption as a major consideration for their vote. 48% listed the Russia hacking of our election. That's corruption. That's what corruption is. You have to get corrupt people out who are allowing it or looking the other way. Don't get me started. The worst story by far is this one. The father of a Newtown, Connecticut girl was killed. The little girl was killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. Is apparently killed himself. Newtown police say 49-year-old Jeremy Richmond was found dead early yesterday morning, not far from his office. In 2012, Richmond's 6-year-old daughter, Avielle, was among 26 children and teachers and educators killed at Sandy Hook Elementary. Just months after the death of Avielle, their only child, by the way, Richmond and his wife, Jennifer, co-founded the Avielle Foundation to support neuroscience research to shed light on what leads someone to engage in harmful behavior, the hope of bringing and bridging biochemical and behavioral sciences to take care of sick people before they do something that's so horrible it can never be changed. Richmond's dream was a paradigm shift in the way society views the health of the brain, as he explained to NPR in 2017. He wanted people to see the brain as just another organ that can be healthy or unhealthy and needs to be treated like heart disease, cancer, or diabetes. And he is 1,000% right. Meanwhile, he has been getting threats and harassment almost constantly since 2012 from conspiracy folks who listen to that. Alex Jones. I mean, I hate bringing up his name because the guy doesn't deserve to be famous on any level. This is the guy who said the kids are actors. Nobody got killed at Sandy Hook. The parents are actors. And there's enough lunatics in this country who buy into that BS that they've been hassling this guy ever since his daughter was murdered. And apparently it created, not surprisingly, a great deal of depression, and he couldn't do it anymore. 48 years old. This on the heels of just a week ago, where two kids who survived the Parkland shooting both committed suicide. one whose best friend died in the shooting and another person as well. And that's the horrific part of this is it doesn't end with the murders. It ends with people having to go on and live their lives, and sometimes they can't come back from it. Survivor's guilt, whatever the case may be. And, you know, that the little girl, I don't know how you do it. I mean, I don't judge the guy.
No.
I don't know how you put one foot in front of the other. But for everybody that sent him a hateful email, I mean, God bless you because you're going to need it. It's going to be a bad ending for you. So that's the little roundup of stories that we didn't have time to talk much about today. Unless you want to add anything to that. Anyone? I don't know what you say. What do you say to that?
Yeah. You know, you're right. The story doesn't end with the last shot that was fired.
No, it's absolutely horrific. And the fact that bump stocks are in the news today. And Steve, are you on?
I am here, yes.
Yeah, give me an update on the bump stock story again.
The bump stock story is this. The Justice Department put this ban into place as it is legally able to do. Today's the day that takes effect. There are two requests for injunctions by gun owners to stop that. The first one has already been denied this morning by Supreme Court Justice Chief Justice John Roberts. And the second one will be heard later today, apparently, by Justice Sotomayor. So we expect both of these to be denied moving forward today.
And it was instituted in such a cowardly way. There's a backdoor way to get certain legislation passed without having Congress to have to take the hit for it. So instead of having members of Congress who get NRA money having to say they supported a ban on bump stocks, this way there was no vote. It went to the Justice Department, and the Justice Department instituted it after a period of public comment and so on. Complete cowardice by Congress, as usual. Bump stocks, of course, were in the news. I didn't even know bump stocks existed until the murders in Las Vegas.
Right.
Yeah. And that, it enables a regular semi-automatic gun to become automatic. And you all remember the number of rounds that guy fired from the hotel. Just amazing.
You don't deserve bump stocks. You're not entitled to bump stocks. Bump stocks aren't covered in the Second Amendment any more than AR-15s or other high-powered weapons. None of that's covered. So stop acting like it is. And I support the Second Amendment. And most people who support the Second Amendment, who own guns, will tell you the same thing. Yeah, we need some changes. Obviously, the gun laws on the books, follow them. But we also need some sensible changes. Universal background checks. You know, I've heard people say, well, what do you mean? So I can't sell my gun to my brother? No.
No, you cannot.
No, if it takes 5 extra days to find out whether that you're safe to transfer a gun, so what?
Yeah, and the gun show loophole is another one that...
Right. All of that needs to be changed, and Congress doesn't have the guts to do it. It's 9:18. We'll come back in a second. Got a job fair coming up at Navy Pier, and it's going to be important to a lot of people. And some folks will be in studio to talk about that in just a moment.
Well, this is definitely Wacker Drive. If my estimations are correct, we should be very close.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Orion will not be with us today. We have Coach Jeremy Colleton, but we're trying to get Orion on Friday. His 85th birthday is Sunday. Normally he's on Tuesdays with us. Does he know he's not on today? Didn't Orion say talk to you Tuesday?
He set on the schedule that said he wasn't on. I did not cancel him.
Okay. He must have been just
Steve. He has Steve Alexander until 11:30. Well, no, he pointed out the time change. So
I think he had enough of us.
Yeah. It's a 2-hour dinner. He didn't need to talk to us anymore.
I know how he feels. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe is trying to arrange something where he doesn't have to look into the studio while he's working.
Yeah, that worked out last time.
Navy Pier's 4th annual job fair is on. Hundreds of job seekers expected, and seasonal jobs to be filled, and maybe even
reading. I read Orion's schedule incorrect, so he does not know that he's not on today.
Oh, I'm glad I brought it up.
Thank you for bringing it up. I will let him know we're going to have to do him another day.
Invite him twice.
Yes.
Sorry. If he wants to come on tomorrow, that's fine, and Friday for sure, but make sure he wants to come on Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Navy Pier's 4th annual job fair, and in studio to talk about it is Payal Patel. Am I pronouncing that right?
Payal Patel.
Payal Patel. Yeah. Sorry about that.
All good.
And what is your title?
I'm the Senior Communications Manager at Navy Pier.
We're going to make you keeper of the job fair.
That sounds good.
How many different employers will be representing?
So more than 20 across the pier, and this includes all of our on-site retail partners, our dining partners, our vendors. So everyone's looking for, employment opportunities, and then we've got some spots to fill for the summer. As you know, Navy Pier is a very, very busy time in the summer.
Yeah, I operate the wheel. I don't know if you know that. I get off the air.
I thought that was you.
I get off the air. I go right over there, and I operate the wheel. Here are some of the companies involved. Big Bus Tours, Build-A-Bear Workshop, Entertainment Cruises, Fifth Third Bank, Garrett's Popcorn, Harry Carey's, Original Rainbow Cone. I don't know. You guys have a Rainbow Cone now, or is that they're coming over?
Yeah. So they opened during the summer, and we have an outdoor location on the pier on the South Dock.
And also a struggling company known as McDonald's.
Yeah. Just a little company, you know.
And even Tall Ship Shoreline Sightseeing, Tall Ship Windy as well?
That's correct.
Wow. So lots of fun stuff.
Yeah. There are a lot of different options, a variety.
What do you need to bring?
Just bring your resume and your smiling face and a positive attitude, and you can walk the fair and go check out all the various tables that'll have representation from these various companies and attractions.
The one thing, you have to register online ahead of time in order to go to the job fair. It doesn't cost anything, but you register and they give you a ticket and then you can go. Or if you cannot make the job fair, you can register online, like apply online.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
NavyPier.org?
Yes, go to NavyPier.org, register in advance. And you do have to have that ticket, although it's free, available. And bring that over to the front door and you'll get on in and, you know.
When is the season open? When do you consider the season?
Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
Are these all seasonal jobs?
They are. Well, not all. There might be a few that might be looking for opportunities beyond.
Plus, if you come in and you blow it out, I mean, they're going to keep you. Right?
It's what you make of the opportunity, right? I mean, there you might be an exceptional employee and they might want to keep you on. But yeah, I mean, for those college students that are looking for opportunities in the summertime to make a little extra cash, this is a great way to do that.
Yeah. And again, NavyPier.org to pre-register. Our friend Corey Job works over at Navy Pier now.
Yeah, he just joined our team about 90 days ago.
Used to be the guy running around telling us how great Illinois tourism was. And now he's more focused.
Now,
he's just
telling you to come to Navy Pier.
Yeah. You guys are 101 now?
103.
Yeah. Yes.
1916 is when the pier opened.
In 2018, they welcomed 9 million guests.
Yeah. I believe it's the number one tourist attraction in Illinois, right?
It's one of the top. I don't know what the numbers are across the board in 2018, but we're among the top.
It used to be, the crazy thing is, for years, it was Nike Town and Navy Pier. Like, before Nike stores were in all major cities, it was New York and Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Nike Town still does well. But Navy Pier's numbers have been consistent throughout, and it's fun any time of the year.
It really is. We're a year-round attraction now, and that's what is really important to stress. It's not just come in the summer and enjoy the outdoor scene in the summertime, but we know we have so many winter programs. You know, the Fifth Third Bank Winter Winterfest is popular, and then we've got free year-round art and cultural programming, and there are art installations, so we're busy all year round now.
You know what I would do?
Kids really like the art installations. Like, some of them are big, and you walk through them and things like that.
And Winter Wonderfest, or is it Wonder Winterfest?
Winter Wonderfest.
Yeah, Winter Wonderfest. You know what I would do? If I sold strollers, I would be the stroller vendor. I'd have a booth set up with strollers. I saw more strollers at the fest last year than I've ever seen. I've ever seen at Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, moms, dads, little kiddos, and all having a good time.
Oh, yeah. We even have a program called Stroller Grooves as a result of, you know, all the strollers.
What's Stroller Grooves?
It's a children's program that happens every Tuesdays in the spring, and this coming Tuesday is our last day for this spring. And, moms and dads and their children, or, you know, nannies, great way to entertain the kids during the day. During weekdays.
You bring your stroller there and stroll around?
You groove along with your stroller.
Is there stroller yoga?
I've not heard of stroller
yoga. That might
yoga,
be next.
But that might
right?
be what
There's goat yoga.
Yeah.
You know the goat yoga thing?
Yeah, I've heard about the goat yoga.
Yeah. The goat stands on your back while you're doing positions and different things.
Oh, yeah. They were
For
on Shark
people
Tank,
that are on spring break, you know, some spring breaks have kicked off. Navy Pier is a great staycation. It could take you a couple days to do everything there is to do at Navy Pier.
Didn't we figure out how far it was front to back? Is it a half mile?
It's just nearly a mile. We call it 50.
It's a mile.
Yeah, 50 acres.
Whoa.
Almost a mile. Yeah. So it's quite the walk. I get my steps in, you know, walking from one end of the pier to the other.
Sure. Absolutely.
What's the most popular job that people will be seeking? Is it to work on the boats, to work on the wheel?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of those attractions are probably the more popular ones, especially among the younger candidates. They gravitate towards working at the Centennial Wheel or working aboard one of the entertainment cruises ships. I mean, can't
that'd
blame
be fun,
them.
Yeah. That'd be a fun summer.
You know, we've got to do it this summer. We haven't been able to pull it off yet.
Do the show on the wheel?
Do the show on the wheel where each time, now it'd be in the morning before you guys open, so it'd work. And each time the wheel gets to the bottom, we bring on a new guest.
I love that idea.
Yeah, and so, and the cars are big enough now. We were going to have the band in another car, but the band could actually be with us. Might be a tad noisy. You know, you could have listeners in the other cars.
Yeah.
And the guests wait at the bottom. We keep picking up new guests.
Will you pipe the show into the other cars?
That's probably possible, I would think, yeah.
But remember, Andre and I did that last year? Or were we there the year before when we rode the wheel?
Yes.
Actually.
Yes.
Yeah, so we already broadcast from there, but we need to all be on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We didn't
it's
do the full show
try.
For that.
Yes.
Of course, based on the problems we had getting the show on the air yesterday, we may need some meetings. All right, one more time. NavyPier.org.
NavyPier.org is where you register.
Bring your resume and your winning personality.
Yes, yes. Okay. Come prepared with just a positive attitude and willingness to work. And, you know, I mean, no better place than on the lakefront to spend your summer.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Thanks for coming over.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps, and the players bump, and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
Sing with me.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
If you're saying, Steve, did you let the introduction song play longer because the coach hasn't called yet and you're stalling? Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. He'll join us here in just a second. Coach Jeremy Colleton, as the Hawks play tonight in Arizona. We were just in Phoenix. Hot there, but not exactly a hockey hotbed. But you have to give Arizona credit, Dave, because they were, I mean, they were a mess just a couple of years ago. And they've turned it around to the point where they're a competitive hockey team.
Well, last year. Yeah. I mean, a year ago, they had, I think, the worst record in the Western Conference. And here they are heading into the final couple of games or the last half dozen games with a shot. So, but they're still on the outside looking in, as are the Blackhawks.
So tonight matters, as do all the games from here on in. Coach Colleton joins us from Phoenix. You know, we were just out there with you.
Wow, you're lucky, guys.
Yeah, we had a good time. We played a little golf. We hung out. I waited for you to come by. You never did.
No one told me.
Big game tonight, but first let's check in on your brackets.
Yeah, things are going well.
Really?
I just want to be in the mix. Just want to be in the mix at the end. That's the key. That's what I'm looking for.
I have 8 teams left in the Sweet 16. I've never had this pathetic a year, ever.
Well, can't be great all the time.
No, ridiculous. All right, let's talk about the game. Arizona tonight, obviously these are all must wins. How do you match up? You feel good about it?
Well, we got to play similarly as we did last game, I think. And actually, you know, over this stretch overall, I think we played pretty well, especially defensively. The goals haven't come as easy, and that's something that, you know, we got to try to manufacture a little more offense by getting to the net, which we did. I mean, Anisimov's goal, you know, in the last game, he just went to the net, got a tip. I think we got to find a way to have a few more of those, and hopefully, you know, our rush chances, our power play can come through. But I think defensively, we've made some big strides, and that puts us in a position to win, and we need a similar effort tonight.
Do you feel like the guys are pressing at all because of the importance of the games, or it's just hockey?
I think it's just hockey, and things tighten up here as you get closer to the end, and the commitment defensively throughout the league is much higher, much better. And you got to find a way to score. And, you know, the other way, it is hard to score goals. So defensively, you can't be giving away any freebies, and that'll be a focus tonight.
How much of a relief was it to finally click on the power play the other night with Anisimov's goal?
Yeah, that was big, obviously. You know, I think the power plays we've had recently have been pretty good. We just haven't converted. But sometimes, you know, as I said, all, you just got to get to the net, get a tip, get a screen, and those are the goals that often go in at this time of year. Doesn't mean we don't, you know, we can still score those other ones, those backdoor one-timers and whatnot, but there's just few of them. It's tighter. It's harder to connect, but hopefully we can, you know, use that positive energy, you know, first of all, scoring, but also when we're going to look at the video and see the chances we created on the power play, and we can build on that.
Is there a harder position in sports to play than NHL goalie? I mean, you think about the speed of these guys, the size of these guys, and all you have to do is stop that little frozen disc coming at your head at 100 miles an hour that you, in all likelihood, aren't going to see because there's 10 other guys that are going to screen your vision.
I wouldn't want to be in there, that's for sure. So
I mean, it's a ridiculous position to play. I don't know how these guys keep it under 10 goals a game. And, you know, the best goalies in the league are 2.1, 2.5. It's amazing.
Yeah, they're great athletes. And also, I think mentally it's such a challenge to stay focused for 60 minutes. They don't get a break when they're, you know, they don't get to come to the bench and take a couple minutes off. They're always on and always prepared. And clearly it's, you know, it's a big challenge.
So, you've been in the NHL for a while now. You've known the game your whole life, practically. You feel like you've learned anything new this season that maybe you didn't know before with the National Hockey League game?
Hard question to answer. I think things constantly evolve. So, the league changes. You adapt with your team. I think the game that works 3 years ago doesn't necessarily work now. You got to keep getting better, and that's even within a season. I think our game has evolved as the year has gone on. We've made some you know, adaptations to how we're playing, and that will continue. So I don't know if I can point to one thing.
Jeremy, I don't know what the streak is right now, but Duncan Keith has been using Eric Gustafson's stick, and it's been working for him. Is that something that happened on accident, or does someone suggest it to break up when you're having a slump?
Well, I think certain guys are more open to doing that kind of thing. I think some players, seeing how they have their pattern, they've been using it for a long time, they don't really want to change it too much. A guy like Dunks, he's always looking for something different. He's trying, he's looking at, you know, other guys' sticks, and I'm going to try this. And yeah, right now it seems to be working for him, so hopefully he doesn't feel the need to switch quite yet.
Did you like what you saw with DeBrincat moving back with Taves and Kane the other night?
They were excellent. I think they dominated almost every shift they're out there. The puck didn't go in for them, but they created a lot of chances, and it just gives our team momentum. It gives our team belief. You know, when you hem a team in for 30, 40 seconds, it's really good for the psyche of your group. So, you know, hopefully they can continue. It's a little bit different on the road. You know, Arizona may match against them, and so we'll kind of see. If they're going to play together, then we need them to be that good. If we're not generating as much, then we may split them up. We'll kind of see how the game goes.
You guys know you got to win them all. How do you keep guys from scoreboard watching and in game and focusing in the wrong areas?
Well, we just remind them. We just got to focus on winning one game. It's right in front of us. Get ready for your next shift. It's too hard to win.
And you can't win. You can't win seven tonight.
No. And so if you waste energy, you waste focus, you're not in the moment, then you just make it more difficult for us to get what we need. And what we need is 2 points tonight.
It's Coach Jeremy Carlton, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Are you surprised at all that Vegas has been able to turn their season around, and they're not as good as they were last year by numbers, but that's a really good hockey team?
Well, I think they have an identity. Their work ethic is outstanding, and they pressure the puck everywhere, and they move the puck forward, and they play a very mature game. They're not interested in gambling out there. They force you to, you know, make plays under pressure in your half of the rink, and I think that's the recipe of success that they've had for a couple of years now, and it's a playoff recipe too. You know, there's no reason why they can't have success in the playoffs either.
You know, the one thing I can say about Vegas, though, is they still have the dumbest pregame ceremony ever, and I hope the Golden Knight gets run over by the Zamboni sometime soon. It's like a Renaissance festival on ice. Coach, have enjoyed it and want to keep doing it, so keep winning, please.
Appreciate it. Thank you very
much. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Coach Jeremy Carlton, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint.
It's nice he got up early. You know, they're in the time zone you were just in.
Yeah, this is 7:48 there.
Right. Mm. Messing up their routine.
He's going to have a late night. He's working later than us.
Right, because the game is, I don't know, what, 9:30 or 9?
At 9 o'clock, puck drop.
He doesn't seem like a late sleeper.
No, he doesn't. No. But still, they, you know, the routine is broken up.
Yeah. I still don't feel badly for him. The show ends at 10. What can I tell you?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks for all the texts this morning. Text question, most annoying thing about flying. This is spurred by the 45-minute wait for the luggage last night. I believe I told Dave this. I believe I've solved the luggage problem at airports and
you came
traveling
up with a great idea.
Because everything is digitized, right?
Mm-hmm.
Including the luggage. So why can't you have an app, which a lot, first off, you got to rebuild parts of the airport, so that'll be easy. But you have alphabetized areas of baggage. Not baggage claim one, not two, not three, not four, not five. With individual employees, maybe a pair of employees at each one. So in your case, your luggage would show up at the S area.
Right, but there would have to be a sorting system.
Here's the sorting system. Every piece of luggage is tied to an app. The moment you get off the plane, the app that you use for the airline, the moment you get off the plane, you'll know exactly where your luggage is, when it's going to show up, and it'll be handed to you by the person as it comes in. Because what's the most annoying thing about waiting for the luggage? You don't know when it's coming. We were waiting last night. 47 red plastic bins came out when our plane's luggage was supposed to show up.
Well, but the problem is, when they unload all your luggage on the plane, they put it on one cart. So then you think somebody on the back end is going to put the C's here, the E's here.
Yeah, because the tags will be different.
And if, but yeah, you gotta, they'll be running back and forth up and down the line.
You can still have the carts come in with the various things. And then the back, you're going to have some way to separate it so the A's, the B's, the C's go in different places. Because now it's just pot friggin' luck. It's just everybody's bag is on the thing. Separate it by... I promise you it'll be faster.
Why did I check in for my flight around the same time Steve did on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
I checked golf clubs. He checked clubs and a bag. His bag and his clubs got to Phoenix. Mine did not.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And you know why? Not alphabetized.
Yep.
I know, like, on my American app, it'll say, your luggage is with you. Like, it tells you that.
I've seen that. Listen, I fly American. Their app is, I've seen, your bags are on the plane. Your bags are off the plane. Right. Shut up.
You don't believe that tracking?
I want a map tracker. Okay. I want to be able to see where my bags are, and I want to see if Bob has them and where they are. I want to see them walking. I want a little cartoon guy walking.
I wouldn't mind names of people that touch things. That would be nice.
It'd be like a little Uber
right?
for your suitcase.
Right. Yes.
Like when you buy something and it says, this was checked by Elif. You know, when you buy something and it has a little, like, quality control tag.
You're saying Elif is working another job?
I'm just suggesting. Oh, I know. Elif is John Williams' producer, but it's first name that came to my mind.
6:30 on a flight to Vegas. I was in the very last seat on the plane. The flight attendant put her bag behind my seat, causing it to push forward. I asked her if she could store it someplace else. She said no, causing me to have to lean forward for a four-hour flight.
That is hilarious. That, I mean, it's awful, but can you imagine leaning forward for the whole flight?
I wouldn't do it. You're the flight attendant. Find a place for your bag so the customer of the airline is able to not be pushed forward for the entire flight. And I don't want to say what airline this was, but it rhymes with Spirit. 312, an old lady kicking the back of my seat because she didn't have enough room. Can you know, just understand, kicking the seat won't create more room. You're not going to kick it hard enough where the thing moves forward, so stop it. 815, Steve, I'm with you with people leaning back. I dig my knees into their back when they recline. I had somebody complain to a flight attendant. I said I couldn't do anything. I could do anything. It's my legs. I've physically held the seat from coming back. I've reached out and I've given them the stiff arm from coming back. And I've had people turn around and, you know, dirty look me. I said, sorry, we're all flying in the same direction. We all need our space. Recline when you get home. Recline in your car.
Yeah. It gives you something to look forward to.
What's that?
Reclining later.
Yeah.
If you keep yourself disciplined.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. Go, listen, what do you have to look forward to if you can't look forward to reclining? 6-year-old, people allow the hotel room doors to slam shut when they leave early in the morning.
Yeah.
You know who I had at this hotel? Apparently I was under a ballroom because every morning I heard moving furniture.
Oh, that's the worst.
Either that or there was a dead body upstairs they had to clear out. But they were, you know, moving heavy furniture across the tile floor. Ridiculous. Steve, if someone puts their seat back and they have long hair, close their hair up in the tray.
Ah, that's creative.
I'll give you a few of these last ones when we come back. First, it is 9:57. Bill and Wendy are coming up. Steve will be in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom after that. Minute before 10. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the texts. A couple more. Bill and Wendy are here now, by the way. And good morning to both of you.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
These are annoying things about traveling. Steve, when the person in front of me reclines their seat, I play drums on the tray table. It vibrates their entire seat and it tortures them. When they sit up straight, I stop. 847, I'm in shock. Sandberg helped people put their luggage tags on.
I do it to help the system become more efficient.
It's not to be a nice person.
Not necessarily.
Okay. And one more, 847, our problem should be with the airlines in their tiny seats. I'm 5'10", 175. I just barely fit. I don't know how others do it, and they're encroaching on my space. The seat sizes are ridiculous. I have to say, we're riding, flying in coach midway back in the plane, and the American seats weren't terrible.
No, they weren't.
Yeah.
And the leg room was decent for me.
Right. You think it was too much to ask you to give me a calf rub?
It was a little awkward because they were bringing the beverage cart down the aisle, and I'm down in the middle of the aisle on my knees.
Oh, boy.
So...
But I want to travel with Dave.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We talked about this earlier, sports fans. Jacob DeGrom from the New York Mets making $1 million per game under his new contract.
Mm-hmm.
And based on 30 starts and 100 pitches in each game, $10,000 per pitch.
Oh. You could almost get by on that money.
A tweet from someone called the Drunk Jake. Owen Wilson has made around $217,800 from his $270 million. $800,000 from his movies. He averages about 3,500 words per movie and 47 films. That's $1,324 per word. He said wow 102 times, which means Owen Wilson has made $135,000 per wow.
And I still don't have time to get my nose fixed.
Right?
Fantastic.
What are you doing today?
Steve, another episode of the Big, Huge, Giant Super Celebrity Game.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So fun.
This is our second installment.
Now, am I right? That used to be the average celebrity game.
We used to call it the average celebrity game, and there was no interest in it whatsoever.
Right.
But now we've called it the big, huge, giant, super celebrity game, and people love it.
And they have to identify the mystery celebrity?
Well, it's two celebrities combined into one. You want a sample question?
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is from last time we played. Not only did I play Gomez in the movie versions of The Addams Family, but I've also won an Emmy Award for my work on Seinfeld, Veep, and The New Adventures of Old Christine.
So it's
it's two celebrities merged
combined into one.
Yeah?
It's Raoul Kramer.
You're close. It's Raoul Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, so close.
Yeah, you're very close.
That's so fun.
That's why people like it.
Kramer was not in Veep.
You think that tip would have helped?
You used Kramer incorrectly earlier this week. You were talking about just showing up at a job until, even though you were fired, you said, just like Kramer.
Didn't
it
Kramer
was George.
Didn't Kramer do that?
No, you're right. It was George. I didn't correct him at that.
Yeah, George.
Oh, this is one of my favorite
one.
Games. Let's correct Steve about all the things he had
Sorry.
Wrong.
Sorry.
That's a game we play in the morning. Let's correct Steve.
Let me give a different one, see how you do on this one.
Okay.
I was Kramer on Seinfeld.
Okay. Is it Kramer?
Yes. Very good.
Big winner.
That was excellent.
Are you sure there weren't two episodes? I remember Kramer getting fired from a job he didn't have and continuing to show up anyway.
That was George.
That was George.
How about I was Kramer in Seinfeld and lost my baby to Meryl Streep?
Kramer versus Kramer.
Wow.
I'll save the world.
I'll save the world.
Wow. Hey, see you tomorrow.
The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker
Remember when
users-
Kramer hit on Mary Tyler Moore in the newsroom? Remember that?
That wasn't Kramer.
That wasn't Kramer. No.